Hello and welcome to the podcast Sunsets and Rainbows. I'm your host Agnes Jensen, and this is the podcast where we talk about life, loss, faith and motherhood, and some more things that are usually brushed under the rug. Hello and thank you all for joining for this episode. And if you go back to the previous episode, you will hear me talking about Elliot's pregnancy, his birth story, and the time we spent with him in the hospital. And in this episode, I will be talking about the funeral, how did we say goodbye to Elliot, and the autopsy result, and the early grief. It's a strange thing to go back home without a baby. There were still the toys, the clothes, everything was still piled up in the living room. We started clearing it up, trying to put those in boxes and put them away. And I still haven't decided to disassemble the crib. It was still there as it is and still on the side of the bed that I used to sleep. That evening when we went back home without a baby, we sat down with our mom and dad-in-law and we were watching some TV. As soon as my father-in-law turned on TV, there was this program called Call the Midwife that was running. And he just stopped and let it run for a few minutes. There was the scene of a twin baby's funeral that was happening. It was the last prayer that was said, and as it started, as I saw the scene, I started getting teared up. And as we continued watching it, it was one of the twin baby that died, and they were reading the last prayer, and it was end of the episode. And there was this coat that was so beautiful. We decided to put that coat on the song sheet that we printed for Elliot's memorial service. And the coat goes like this. Not every love is given voice. Not every flower comes to bloom. And their folded petals must be frozen in the green. Others unfurl and flourish, turning their faces to the light they do not doubt. It's a beautiful quote from Call the Midwife. Elliot was born on the 27th of February 2020. We spent the 27th and the 28th with him, and we gave him for autopsy, and we picked him up from the autopsy on the 5th of March. And we had the memorial service on the same day. And we brought him to northern Denmark to do the burial in the family church that we have. And also that's where we got married. So between these time from leaving him in the hospital for autopsy until the day we picked him up, it was so blur and numb. And that's when it started settling in. I had trouble sleeping. I couldn't sleep. If I slept, I slept too much. And it was, those days were hard and heavy. And we went to order some flowers for him. And we had to tell this flower lady what that was for. And they were all so kind, everyone stranger that we encountered in Denmark. They were so kind to us. They asked his name, they asked about him. And we also met with the pastor, and the pastor talked with us and asked us how we were doing. And he also planned the memorial service with us, how we want to do it. how to make the arrangements in the church and what will happen in Northern Denmark. So we were planning all these things. And at the same time, condolence messages started pouring in. Some good, some bad, some didn't come at all. Even the people that meant so much to us didn't reach out. There was silence from certain people. And the condolence messages came in. To my surprise, a lot of them were so insensitive that it said, God will give another child. He's with God. He's in heaven. Be happy and move on. Most of the messages did not acknowledge him even as a baby. At this point, I haven't announced it on social media. We were still keeping it to ourselves. I wasn't ready to talk about it. I wasn't talking to anybody about it, not to the therapist. I wasn't ready to even talk to the therapist. So we were just keeping it to ourselves. And these are from well-wishers, best friends, and family. Those messages that were coming in from. And some were really genuine and heartfelt. And you could hear the best intentions, even though they didn't say the right words. That happened, and I was muddling through the guilt. And in my head, over and over, like a movie on a loop, different scenes from those days kept looping in my head over and over again. And there were some flashes of memory that was coming back to me. And I was talking to Yeppe and I was asking, did this really happen? I had this flash of memory that I was standing in the pool of blood. And did that really happen? And Yeppe was like, yes, that really happened. And so there were some flashes of memory that was coming back. Now that the shock is wearing off, then my brain is trying to process all the memories from those past days. And we were trying to also meanwhile prepare for the funeral. Yippe's dad was making this beautiful little coffin. And no grandparents has to go through making a coffin for their grandchild. And I felt so guilty that I had nothing to show them except a dead baby. And still, all they had was so much love. So I'm really grateful for the love that we received, and also my friends. They were really anchor in these days, and they helped us plan the funeral. They helped write to all the other friends. They made the Facebook group, and they were writing to them what was going on. The things that we couldn't communicate, my friends were the ones who were communicating. And my other best friend, she agreed to take some pictures on the memorial service day. Even though it's a bit unorthodox to take pictures, like, we still wanted as much as memories from him as possible. So we also decided to take pictures on the memorial day. So fast forward, it's March 5th, and we are going to pick him up from the autopsy ward, and we were asked to come to the chapel, the hospital chapel. Hospital chapel is where they're going to bring him. So that's where we're going to meet him. As we went into the chapel, I see this beautiful green carpet laid out, and there was a table. The candles were lit. There were a few flowers. And when we came in, the person who works in the hospital chapel, he greeted us and he said he will go collect Elliot. And he rolled him in a stroller kind of thing. He was nicely dressed, exactly how we left him. And we looked at his beautiful face. He looked different. And before, the hospital chaplain also told us about that he will look different. There will be stitches in him. So he prepared us for what we could expect in a very gentle, nice way. And then he rolled him in. He was already dressed, so we didn't really do any undressing. And we brought the coffin with us, and we kissed him. We kissed him on his forehead. And we looked at him, and we took him and placed him in the coffin. We gave him a nice blanket, and he was still wrapped in the fine wedding cloth that the hospital gave him. And we gave him the pictures that we brought with us, and I placed my hands on his head and said a little prayer. And I kissed him goodbye. And then we shut the coffin. And then we shut the coffin. And we stayed there for a few minutes before chaplain helped us to bring him to the car. And we placed him in the trunk, and we brought him to our church chapel. And I go to this international church, and they offered us this small chapel that's within the church hall. The church hall is very big, and it was going to be a closed ceremony only for friends and family. So they gave us the chapel that is within the church hall. And one of our dear friend also sang during the ceremony, and our pastor gave the sermon. And our close friends were there. It was a beautiful, intimate ceremony. There was a lot of flowers. And we placed the coffin, and they sent us, they bid us farewell to go to Northern Denmark. We drove straight from the chapel to the Northern Denmark church. So it's a 4.5 hour car ride that we have to do. And if I close my eyes, I could still smell the flowers. Our car smelled like flowers for days. We arrived in Northern Denmark, and then we straight placed the coffin in the church that we got married. All the flowers that we got was arranged on the aisle, the same aisle where we walked up. And the next day was going to be the burial ceremony. March 6th was going to be the burial ceremony. And it was also a very beautiful ceremony, and it was in Danish, and it was done by the Danish pastor in a Lutheran church. And Jeppe's dad also works there in the church, and he was the one who helps dug the grave and followed up with the ceremony. The same prayer that I heard, the same prayer that the hospital chaplain did when she visited Elliot in the hospital, is the same prayer that we heard on the TV. It's the same prayer that we did in the memorial service was the same prayer that was recited at the end during the sunset of March 6th. And as he was lowered down into the ground after the ceremony, we looked up the sky and saw this beautiful sunset. And that's where I have this connection to sunsets and rainbows. After that, I really started connecting together with the nature, and I felt comforted in the sunsets and rainbows. And butterflies were also his symbol because of the life tree. We put the butterfly as a symbol. So those are like the beautiful memories that we have of him. And even though as heartbreaking as it is, it really helped us to do these ceremonies to give him the good goodbye, because that's what we promised him. We told him that we'll give him the best of our goodbyes, and that's what he got. And I'm really happy that we were able to do that, that we were given a chance to say a good goodbye to him. And even after that, his cousins and Navluna, Bani, like they all go visit his resting place. We know he is not there. His soul is not there. He is with God. But it's still a nice remembrance to go to his place, to give him flowers, to take care of his resting place. It gives us comfort. And so we do it. And it's a beautiful connection to also see his little cousin going and watering his flowers, taking care of his place. And when Luna goes, she plays with those small little things that we have on his place. And it's really beautiful to see their connection that spans from heaven to earth. And it gives us a chance to tell his story. It gives us a chance to tell who he was and how he is loved. It gives us a chance to love him a bit more on Earth's side. So I'm really happy that I still have somewhere to go where his name is written. Now, fast forward, we are in thick of the early grief, and I grieved differently than Yeppe. And when I was ready to talk, it was a month after I was ready to write on social media that we have lost our son. I wrote a post about that he died and that we still love him, that I would like to talk about him. I wrote a blog post about how people could support us. And there was also very mixed responses for that, and a lot of Christian people, again, they said, "I will receive the last blessing in double portion," and some were still silent, and some responses were very kind and empathetic. So it was a mixed bag of responses that we got. And when I wrote that post, people already started telling me that, why am I still grieving? The close circle said that it's already been a month, and was I not feeling better? Why am I still talking about this? And how I should have been moving on, and how I should already be trying for another baby. And those kind of responses, that was very hurtful. So we had that. And me and Yeppe was also like going through grief differently. I wanted to talk where he wanted to just work. And I couldn't imagine how he could try to focus on work again. And now that I know that couples do grieve differently, and how and through it all we tried to communicate with each other, and I was talking to a grief therapist, and we also had few sessions with the grief therapist. It was a non-profit organization that was giving out therapy actually for free. And we took those few sessions to talk to the therapist, and that really helped us understand that what we are experiencing is normal. It normalized what we were feeling, and reading other people's story from the pamphlets gave us hope. At the same time, that we were not alone in this. And we also joined Facebook group. It's a Danish Facebook group where there were almost more than 2,000 parents who has lost their babies grieving and writing about their stories and posting pictures from the grave and how they were taking care of their resting place and so on. So that was quite comforting to see. While I was getting very good support in Denmark, on the other side from India, there was this pressure that I should be moving on, I should be doing this and that, and people that were questioning why these things happen, because I worked too much, because I took driver license. There were many different versions of stories of why he died and how he died. People that hasn't talked to us made up stories about how Elliot died. And that is quite hurtful, and it made me angry when I heard different version of stories of Elliot passing away and why he passed away. These things really escalated, and that's also like in the first part, I said I grew up with the Pentecostal Christian faith, and I questioned and I challenged a lot of things, a lot of these responses that I was getting. Many of those responses from people who are pastors. And after 4 years now, when I look back, I feel sorry for these people for misunderstanding the word of God in another way. And I will go with all those responses and what is wrong, what is right in another episode. And I just want to highlight that there were different versions of why Elliot passed away, which was not from me. And for the first time, I'm recording in this platform the reason why he passed away, what the autopsy results were saying, and my baby did not die because I rolled in my bed during sleep. So fast forward 3 months, that's when our autopsy results came back. And also we had 3 months of grief leave, and I was going through postpartum. And the toughest journey about postpartum, your milk comes in. Your body doesn't know that there is no baby that exists. My milk still came in. We had to stop the milk with the pills. And I was responding to, my body was responding to the cry of other babies. Whether it was in the TV that I heard, my body automatically responded to a crying child. And to look at your body, to see an empty vessel, to see those stretch marks, and thinking that your body has failed you, and how do you forgive a body that has failed you, and to go through all that, the hormones, the raging hormones that is going crazy, and all these things, you go through it without the baby to show. You still look 5 months pregnant after you give birth. And you're still bleeding and you're still going through postpartum. And it's so unfair that you do that without a baby to show. And after going through all that, Now, to sit through an autopsy result to find out why he passed away, while there's this different versions of stories that is floating around. Before that, there was also the reports have come in. We have read the reports, and the autopsy talk is to understand the complete picture of what had happened, how to move forward, what are our options now. And when we went there, this kind gentleman introduced himself and he walked us through what has happened and how the birth was and all the facts. They present you the facts. And then he also mentioned about the few things about the placenta, that it was small and there was some blood clots. And there was nothing else concrete that showed anything that was wrong with him. And they saw everything perfect except for it was smaller for his gestation. He was born 36 weeks, but he was actually measuring 33. So, and there was no concrete conclusion except the placenta was small. And even that was not told as an alarming sign. But now that I have the knowledge of that smaller placentas do lead to IUGR babies, that is, there's intrauterine growth restriction, and that can lead to stillbirth. And that's actually quite a big cause in countries like India, while why babies are stillborn. And now that I know that actually the placenta can be measured, because that's, I also asked, like, how can I make sure in future pregnancies that the placenta is good? He said, you can only see how the baby grows. And from how the baby grows, you see then the placenta is working. But it should be the other way around. The placenta should be growing and working properly in order for the baby to be growing properly. So now that I know, actually, there's a way to measure the placenta, way to actually look at the blood flow in the umbilical cord, in the placenta. They promised me in the next pregnancy, those things will be looked at. While it should be in the routine, you shouldn't be losing your first child to prove that you're worthy to receive those checks in the future pregnancies. And when I learned about all these things, now I advocate fiercely for these checks to be part of the routine checkups, because it's quite easy. It's very easy to measure the blood flow in the umbilical cord, the blood flow in the placenta, and how the placenta is growing and how the baby is growing. And they said in the future pregnancies that I'll be put on blood thinners so I won't get the blood clotted. So to think about a simple thing like blood thinners could have saved your baby's life is a big shame. It's a very huge shame. And so, yeah, here's the reason for why he passed away. And during Luna's pregnancies, I was closely monitored and I was given frequent scans that they took really good care of me, while that should have been normal for the first pregnancies. Pregnancy after loss and parenting after loss is a big journey by itself, and I will cover that in the future episodes. But for now, I want to say this is Elliot's story, and I really thank you for taking time to listen to it. And if you have any comments, questions, there's no wrong questions. Just write them in the comments and I will try to answer them in the future episodes. So thank you so much for joining me. If you are going through loss, please know that you're not alone. My inbox is always welcome, and please come and share your story and share your story in this platform. And I will see you in the next episode. Thank you.